My name is Anthony Niccolo.
Okay, and your company is?
My company is Food Tree.
And tell me a little bit more about Food Tree.
So Food Tree is building a comprehensive database of food information to tell you whatever you're interested in about food. So whether that's where it came from, what the underlying farming practices are, what the fishing method is of the halibut on your plate at a restaurant, whether it's allergy information, literally a comprehensive database. Today the platform makes it possible to build brand around whole and lightly processed foods. So if you are in the business of selling fish, meat, vegetables, coffee, tea, wine, we make it possible for you to use the internet to brand an apple, as it were, so that you can associate a particular apple with a farm and their underlying practices, so that instead of a processing step and a value add step that and branding around that, it's more about being able to build reputation on your underlying values and practices, and just transparency, making it possible for you to say, yeah, my apples are all really high quality.
So who do you see using your service?
So in the long run, what we want to do is, as an eater, you would log in to the website maybe one time and just set your profile and say, I care about miles traveled this much, I care about carbon footprint, I care about price, quality, I have a gluten allergy, whatever your profile is. And you'll care about those things different amounts, and there'll be an algorithm in the background that then suggests to you a shopping list, places to buy those things. You know, perhaps when you check into a restaurant, based on your Food Tree profile, you will then get a recommended menu item. That's sort of the long run vision. And in the short run, we see primarily people who are really engaged in the food system. So people who want to map their local food communities that are really part of an active food movement as users. And as customers, we see food businesses that essentially trade on information, that they are attempting to market transparently and explain the backstory of their foods. Companies from the origin farm level who are selling direct today but also sell in restaurants, so that when I go to the farmer's market on Saturday, I love the tomatoes from this particular farm, but it's Wednesday and I need more tomatoes, but I don't want just any tomatoes, and so as that tomato farmer, I want to be able to tell the people who are already fans of me where they can find those tomatoes through wholesale channels and retail locations where they're available.
So where did the idea come from? How long ago? You know, tell me a little bit of story about that.
So I've worked as a professional chef for about 8 years, and started a wine import company called Farmstead Wines, where we literally work with Farmstead Wines. It's always the same person who grows the grapes and making the wine. We've got an accreditation process in the vineyard and in the cellar, and have tons of information about every bottle of wine. And spent 2 years and too much money trying to cram into our own website nice maps of where to buy and social media tools, and really connect you as the person drinking the bottle to some of the relationship that I have with the farmer themselves. And then also that extra level of information that maybe most people don't care about, but I end up emailing PDFs back and forth with trade buyers, plus extra data points that I know are important to things that you might care about. You know, if you actually are buying a wine because it's ostensibly green, but you don't know whether they actually, what their irrigation methods are, you don't know what they do with the pruning remnant in a particular year, you know, those things as just data points may not be relevant to you. So how do I convey that information in a way that makes sense based on what you care about? And actually came across a New Zealand company called Icebreaker. They make clothes from New Zealand wool, and they've got something called the barcode. And so every garment from them is traceable back to the original source, and you can see the story of the sheep farm and the farmer and their family, and then also sort of metadata around their actual methods and the shipping methods. And actually, when we started the company, it was called Provenance ID because we wanted to build a platform that made that possible for any agricultural product, whether it be food, fuel, or fiber. But sort of because my experience is as a chef and have a pretty good understanding of the food system, I thought it made sense to focus on food in particular.
So the financial question. So was there a point when you had to start looking at raising funds, and how did you go about that, and what's sort of the future in terms of revenue and things like that?
Well, we still need to raise a bit more money, and there's a bit of a dilemma, because at one end, it's really about making it possible for consumers to choose food that is meaningful to them, that they're happy eating, and based on good information, as opposed to based on just what someone has spent lots of marketing dollars to convince you to buy. And there isn't really a platform for communicating that information about real food. There's billions and billions of dollars spent on communicating that information about highly processed foods. And then at the same time, in my own experience as a small wine importer, I know that there's a need for sort of small to medium businesses and potentially even enterprise businesses at a white label level using a platform to communicate their supply chain and sort of radical transparency. And
so you were saying about you, well, first of all, I had mentioned earlier that you had got involved with Buddha.
Yep.
So maybe you can elaborate on that, and then you're saying you're looking for more money, so then what would the more money be for?
Yep. So Boris Mann was actually one of our advisors before Boot Up Labs, separate from that. I've known him for a number of years, and just through food, just being involved in the sort of Vancouver food community, Boris is sort of drifts between technology and food. I think that's a byproduct of him flipping a coin between university and culinary school. And so sort of through my relationship with him, I knew some of the other Boot Up Labs companies in the first cohort and decided that we would apply. And we also had a little bit of angel money sort of from people that I knew from my time working as a chef and living in Chicago. And so that was some of our initial money, and the Boot Up idea was a way for us to really stay in Vancouver. My wife is here, my family's here, and you know, the alternative was to, you know, probably most of my contacts likely for raising money were outside of Vancouver. So Boot Up was a great way for us to stay in the city and start working on the idea sort of full-time here. And we spent, we joined Boot Up in late January. We released a prototype of the platform in late February, signed up, sold some subscription services to that platform in March, and then realized that we needed to sort of re-architect the database, that we really had just built a prototype. We hadn't actually built version one, and so then spent several more months building version one, something that is sort of a minimum product but somewhat scalable, and just released that this week. And now we're at a stage where we have enough money that we can sort of very slowly organically grow, but we need to add to our technical team for sure. In particular, you know, we're talking about a comprehensive semantic database, and on our technical team we don't really have a semantic database expert. We've got food system expertise and understand the way that the data model should function and what food reporting information should look like, but in terms of how do we take food information and XML markup to create food reporting information language, we're missing that.
So the other thing is, how do you, like any entrepreneur kind of is wondering, is how do you know that your idea is, you know, going to work? Is it you've gone out and done research in the industry, or you've contacted restaurants, or how do you, have you gotten the feedback? Because you're talking about developing the technical part of it, but have you gone out in terms of the marketing part of it to find out what the feedback is?
We've gone out and we've talked to lots of chefs. We've talked to lots of food-related businesses. We actually have some active customers at this point. I think that as an entrepreneur, there's also a lot of the best companies are built just from the perspective of, you know, I have a problem, and then you do enough market research to make sure that, okay, other people actually do have this problem as well, and then you just go back and solve that initial problem that you had, and be prepared after you release that product to then iterate. And you don't after you release your first version, you no longer rely on just solving your problems. Then you integrate all of the feedback from customers and users that you sign up. But the initial product often is best when you're really just that cliche, you know, scratching your own itch.
So lastly, what do you see coming out of this for your company in terms of, is it networking, is it investments, is it, what do you see coming out of the growth conference?
For us, I think it's likely both of those things, and a combination where we've made some interesting new contacts for people who are based in the Valley, and they care about food, and whether it's they have some allergies, or their own family eats in a particular way, or they're really active in sort of community-supported agriculture and local food systems, but that's not their active day job. That's just something they do because they eat food and things that they care about. And so I think that those relationships will be valuable. I also see, sort of coming out of the conference, it actually creates a bit of a question mark for us, because we've always thought that that, you know, essentially we'll end up being a database company, and then through API and mobile platforms, we don't know exactly what'll get built on top of it, and uncertain what the uses will be. But that's fine for us. We want to help build that database. And our initial strategy has been to, as part of our data gathering, building that platform for branding and building reputation around whole and lightly processed foods, that we would offer that as a subscription service. So a service to a business-to-business service as we gather data, and then in the long run maybe evolve into more of a large data model enterprise analytics services, sort of like LinkedIn is doing now. And I think that we have some soul searching to do around whether that initial strategy, while great for you know, revenues and possibilities of bootstrapping, whether that makes us move a bit too slow for the bigger portion of the market, which is obviously making it possible for individuals to, you know, actually make grocery purchasing and restaurant menu decisions based on real-time relevant information.